one could be patient, and that's their least, on the Brahman platform. Because if one is on the Brahman platform, one has a long time. Namely, he has eternity. So you can be very patient if you have eternity. There's no rush. And beyond just the ordinary Brahman platform is the world of the spiritual world, is the spiritual platform of loving service to Krishna. And since every moment brings more and more ecstasy, there's nothing to worry about. Prabhupada displayed that. It is quite unusual that a person who's 70 years old will get aboard a steamship, sail it for beyond that steamship for over a month, have three heart attacks. I think it was three or two heart attacks. Arrive at the Boston Pier, and then start a worldwide movement with persons who had no idea what they were doing, practically speaking. My earliest recollections, my friends who were living at 26 Second Avenue, when I asked them what they were doing in the beginning of 68, they said they get up in the morning, they raise their hands, and they dance. My immediate conception was that they had become moon worshippers. And they had not much more knowledge than I did. So, of course, later on I found out it was something more than that. But probably considering what who he had to deal with, it took over a year before anyone really showed any genuine interest. And when you're a 70-year-old Bengali gentleman living in New York at that time, it's not even probably the most pleasant experience unless you are in the spiritual platform, especially in the Bowery. I grew up in, not in that area, but I grew up in New York. And I never wanted to go down there. It was like a not a very pleasant place. Because it was more or less the people who lived there, their bathroom was the street. And if you went down there, it actually smelled like the bathroom. And as you find out, the Prabhupada, when he used to go up to his loft, he'd have to ask the drunks who were passed out in front of his doorstep if they could kindly move. And they were very polite to Prabhupada. And they'd get up and say Swamiji or offer him some respect and then move. Later on, when Prabhupada moved into 26 Second Avenue, he taught the devotees there that they should take a shower, which was a new conception. I don't know if he had to show them that this is hot water and this is cold water. And it comes out here, the water comes out. You go underneath it. But Prabhupada told them they should take a shower every day, at least once a day. And they all agreed. And then Prabhupada, in the morning, he had to wait on the line in order to take a shower. The persons he had instructed had to take a shower didn't realize that maybe they should put Prabhupada in front of the line. But Prabhupada patiently waited on the line along with everyone else. He never complained. And then Prabhupada started to have the daily prasadam. Prabhupada would cook the prasadam, serve it out to 10 or 15 people who'd come by, because on the Lower East Side, it became a more or less famous that here you get a free meal and it tasted very good. And therefore, more and more people came. And Prabhupada would cook for them. Prabhupada would serve them. Prabhupada would clean up after them. Until one day, someone thought that maybe they should help Prabhupada clean up at least. Not only help him by eating, but also by cleaning. And then, of course, later on, Kirtananda Swami he helped, started to help Prabhupada make chapatis. And then devotees are people who used to start to move in, and Prabhupada used to take care of them just like a father. There is one boy, Stridish. He wanted to move into the temple. And if, has anyone here, how many have been to 26 Second Avenue? Well, 26 Second Avenue is not a big place. The first time I went down to 26 Second Avenue, I walked in. I was already a devotee, but I was living in Buffalo. And I asked the devotees where Swamiji is, because we used to call Prabhupada by Swamiji. And they told him, he's not here. And he told me to come back later, because Prabhupada was in San Francisco. So I was a little insulted, actually, the way he treated me. You know, don't bother us, come back later. But Prabhupada was in San Francisco at that time. But I was quite impressed how small the center was. Our centers tend to be quite small at that time. Our first Vyas Puj book, I think, was in 69, and there were 50 devotees in the Vyas Puj book. So Stridish was living. His mother agreed that Stridish could stay at the temple. But she told Prabhupada, Swamiji, make sure that he eats. Stridish looked like a more or less like a danda. He was quite thin. And it was very hard to get Stridish to eat anything. So Prabhupada used to force him to eat a chapati, then two chapatis, then he started to eat five chapatis, and then 10 chapatis, and Prabhupada stopped it at 26 chapatis. Prabhupada was actually quite concerned that the Western boys and girls would not like prasad. And he was also concerned that there were no vegetarian food in America. Prabhupada had a lot of conceptions about America before he came. That's why he took two trunks with him. One was full of rolled oats, and the other one was full of his books. Because he thought when he gets to America, there would be nothing to eat except for rolled oats. But then he was quite happy to find out that these Western boys and girls, they love prasadam. One time I walked in, this is in 69, to Lord Ramachandra's appearance day in New York. They had moved to, I think it was from 26, they moved to 69 Second Avenue. And when I walked in, Brahmananda, who's huge, he came up to me and hugged me, practically crushed me, then picked me up and said, did you do it? He came in around 8 o'clock in the evening. I said, what? I was wondering, what did I do? And he said, did you fast? Because it was considered quite a challenge to think we were fasting until moonrise. So I said, yes. I didn't know it was such a hard thing to do. And then I sat down for prasadam, and I was just like amazed how much the devotees could actually eat. I mean, I couldn't conceive of where it all fit in. Ramananda's plate was actually like over that hill. And it was all green. Everything was green. The dal was green, the rice was green, the sabji was green, the chapatis were green. Everything was green. Because it was Lord Ramachandra's appearance. And I said, where is it all going to fit? And that was first. And then the other hill came. I mean, it was obviously transcendental prasadam. So Prabhupada, he was very, very patient, and he was very happy to see the Western boys and girls. They loved prasadam. And then Prabhupada's patience was there because we can't imagine how many crazy people he had to deal with. New York was relatively conservative at that time. They quietly took LSD and they didn't make a big thing about it. There were crazy people in New York, but they were more or less dignified crazy people. But then when Prabhupada moved to the West Coast, when he went out there, there people were enthusiastically crazy. It was considered a sign of divinity if you manifest your craziness. At one kirtan, one enthusiastic one girl came in completely naked. When she was dancing, she took off all her clothes in the middle of the kirtan. And Prabhupada's eyes opened up wide like saucers. And he called over Malati and said, "She has to have something on." And so Malati took her in the back, gave her a sari, and she came back enthusiastically dancing again. One time, one boy came up to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was doing the kirtan. One boy came up with a knife, and they thought that maybe he was going to stab Prabhupada. But Prabhupada very patiently looked at him, and then very patiently asked him yes, and then the boy went back. One time I was with Prabhupada at a university program. I went to the University of Buffalo. And Prabhupada gave the lecture. At the end of the lecture, one boy stood up in a very challenging way and said, "Swamiji, are you happy?" And Prabhupada looked at him very grave and said, "If I told you, would you believe me? Come on, Swamiji, tell us, are you happy? If I told you, would you believe me? Come on, Swamiji, just tell us if you're happy or not." And the Prabhupada had this enormous smile and said, "Yes." And everyone went, "Jai Prabhupada!"
Jai.
And this boy had this big smirk on his face. It went exactly the opposite way. And he sat down. One time this devotee, or this boy came up, probably was giving a lecture at the University of, State University of Buffalo, a teacher's college. And this boy came up and he was sliding on the ground. And he said, "Swamiji, how far do you have to go to get down in order to see Krishna?" And he kind of crawled up to Prabhupada. I said, "That's perfect. That's perfect." So this boy moved into the temple. And later, he was a little unusual. He would stand in one place sometimes and not move for, you know, hours and hours and hours. But we gave it. The devotees gave him prasadam. He came. And later on, he turned out to be a Sanskrit scholar. Grace. Sanskrit scholar in our movement, Kushikrata Prabhu. Yes. Sweet devotee. Prabhupada was very, very patient. And he was confident. To be confident that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's not an ordinary thing, because Krishna is not an ordinary Supreme Person. Full of all opulences, complete form of bliss and knowledge, all attractive. I remember people at the beginning, and not only the beginning, to the end, and even now, that when people hear Prabhupada's voice, it is complete conviction that Krishna is God. Prabhupada never wavered, maybe, maybe not, I don't know, I think, you know, don't press me too hard. He met all the challenges, and he met them with full conviction. And he knew he perfectly reciprocated with everyone who dealt with him. His conviction wasn't that he had to talk to everyone in a very commanding or demanding way. Prabhupada manifested and exhibited his personality and his preaching just to fit the time, place, and audience. One time I was sitting with Prabhupada. Prabhupada was talking to one Indian gentleman. His name was Dr. Lal. He had invited Rupanuga, who became our temple president, to the Buffalo Center. And Mr. Lal was an impersonalist. No one could actually convince him of anything. So Prabhupada, he started to preach to Dr. Lal and said, "My dear sir, if you want to know who your father is, you have to find out from your mother. And the Vedas say that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Vedas are our mother, and they're telling us who our father is." Dr. Lal said, "I can't understand. I don't accept this." So Prabhupada said, "Well, if you want to know who your mother is, the only authority that can actually tell you is your father. If you want to know who your father is, the only authority is you have to ask your mother. Similarly, if you want to know who the Supreme Father is, you have to ask your mother, the Vedas. And the Vedas say, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." "I can't accept that, Mr. Lal." Prabhupada said, "The Vedas are just like our mother. If you want to know who your father is, you have to ask your mother. The Vedas say Krishna is our father." "I can't understand." Prabhupada said to Purushottam, he rang his bell, "Could you please bring some prasad?" Mr. Lal said, "Swamiji, I wrote an article for Back to Godhead, and it hasn't been published." And I was thinking, wow, I wonder why. And Prabhupada looked at us and said, "It is very important to write for Back to Godhead." And he rang his bell again for Purushottam, and he said, "This man has written an article for Back to Godhead. Please find out why it has not been published." I was thinking, I can tell you why it wasn't published. Of course, it was never published. But Prabhupada is very expert at dealing with people. Very expert at preaching. And he was full of enthusiasm. I never saw Prabhupada, or I don't think anyone has ever heard of Prabhupada not being enthusiastic. In spite of all the troubles in ISKCON, the ups and downs, he was always enthusiastic. One time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj told me, he said, he was just amazed of all the pressure and problems that Prabhupada had to face to get the Juhu temple. He said, "If I was in such a position, I could never remain sane, practically speaking, of all the pressure that Prabhupada was under." And yet he was always enthusiastic, always determined, never wavering even for a second. Even when one time Tamal Krishna Maharaj called him up and told him, because this Mr. Nara was very expert, and he had convinced Tamal Krishna Maharaj and others, Giriraj Maharaj, to void the contract that they had for the land, convincing them that you'll never be able to build, and Swamiji's idea is just so out of reach and impractical, and it's just a waste of time, you're going to lose so much money. Just cross out the contract, just annihilate it, annul it, and everything will be all right. So they called up Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, we've just canceled the contract." And Prabhupada took the phone and hung up. And the next thing they knew, Prabhupada was there to renegotiate the contract with Mr. Nara. So Mr. Nara, he was a little afraid of Prabhupada, and he took his guru. His guru was supposed to be a mystic. Because he thought Prabhupada was a very mystical person. He might cast a spell on me when I come for the negotiations, and therefore I should take my guru in order to protect me from Prabhupada. So Mr. Nara and his guru were there. Prabhupada was very
charming,
very gracious, and he called for prasada. And Prabhupada was eating and eating, and they were eating and eating, and everyone was eating wonderful prasada. And it was just like amazing prasada, and just amazing amounts were brought in, and everyone was eating, and very happy, nice conversation. And after some time, Prabhupada, and Mr. Nara goes, Swamiji, I think you're retired. Prabhupada said, if someone says, I think you're tired, it means he's tired. Says, hey, Prabhupada said, yes, I'm very tired. I think I'll take some rest and then we can talk. So they all showed Mr. Nara to one room, his guru to another room. Everyone took rest in a different room. 15 minutes later, Prabhupada's bell rings softly. Tamal Krishna Maharaj comes in and says, wake up, Mr. Nara, but don't wake up his guru. Mr. Nara comes in, Prabhupada talks to him, renegotiates the contract, they both went to sleep, and we have Jubu Temple now. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gaura Premanande.